She took that money clip. Clearly, he was intending the cash.
No, he said, take whatever you think you're worth. Yeah, I am absolutely worth this gold money clip. Sorry, I might use it as a nipple clamp later. I don't know.
I'm Melody Carlisle.
And I'm Sabrina Bradley.
And this is Heaving Bosoms. This is the podcast where best friends recap romance novels and other kissing media that makes us swoon, snark, and refills our cups.
Whether you've read the book or are coming in blind, we'll lay bare every delicious scene and revel in the tropes and subgenres that make romance amazing.
All right, listener, strap in and strap on. Headphones are highly recommended. Okay. Hey, Sabrina, I have a question for you. Oh, actually, Jesus. I have a theory for you. And I don't know if this makes me a narcissist.
Oh, I was going to make a joke that the theory was that we need to plan half hiatuses once a year.
Yeah, we are going to start planning half hiatuses. Yeah, that's true. No, my theory. So Sabrina has been doing a lot of the social medias lately, which is incredible because it gives me the big anxiety a lot of times. But what Sabrina found out when she took over, especially Instagram, is that I have basically forgotten about my personal Instagram and I've just started following all of my, all of my interests on the Heaving Bosoms Instagram.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And months ago, I meant to go look, but months ago, I was on one of our episode announcement videos, and I had just gone deep down the Lady DIY rabbit hole on Instagram.
Is that why we're getting the recommendations that we've been getting?
Okay, so that's one of the reasons we've gotten the recommendations, but I have a theory for you. I think I might have incepted you because
I'm DIYing my whole house.
Yeah.
So this is not my theory, but I was scrolling Tumblr the other day and it did make me laugh. Actually, you know what?
What?
Let's hold.
Okay.
Because this thing blew my mind.
Okay.
So as you well know, and as I'm sure listener will eventually find out, my 30th birthday is coming in.
Yeah.
I saw a post on Tumblr, on the Tums,
mm-hmm.
and somebody posted, I'm turning 30 this month and for some reason have suddenly become interested in material possessions. Like, what if my couch was nice?
Mm-hmm.
What if my sheets were nice?
Ooh.
Is this what happens to you when you turn 30?
Maybe.
Listen to this. Oh, boy, this is kind of long, but it was fascinating. So you can cut this, but also, like, I'm going to read it to you.
Sure.
Because it's accurate. Okay,
this
so somebody,
is important to friendship.
Somebody's response. I think a couple of things combine. You now have enough experience in the persistence of material objects to understand that if they don't actively fail, they continue to define the shape of your material existence. And then perhaps you were raised to feel guilty for wanting things such as toys or attention, which you later dutifully applied to things like education or new forks. Over time, you will have surprised yourself with how you met, identified, addressed, and reconciled these tensions from your upbringing. Through conflict and resolution with parents, teachers, church, internet, social media, you have now arrived at what you have. If you had big things to confront, like coming out as queer, you may have thought this work was done. Now you suddenly find yourself confronting the weird beliefs you have that you don't need new forks, or it's bourgeois to want things, or nobody spends $200 on hiking boots. What are you, rich? And you might find yourself feeling like, well, actually, I'm grown up and I hike. So yes,
right.
I think that when you are 30, you're in the danger zone of getting a new couch.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was a psychologist.
Right? No, it was probably just some fucking rando on Tumblr. But like, boy, howdy, it's a chaos site, but they really nail it sometimes. Because that's exactly where I've been. As you know, I fucking just posted that goddamn TikTok of me buying a bed because I realized, oh my fucking God, I hate my bed.
Yeah. And like, I think there's also, like, at least for me, the idea that my comfort is worth more than a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to be in the front row of Shakespeare in the Park if it means that I have to spend the night in the rain in a park, you know, for 12 hours. I don't need that. Like, I can see Meryl Streep just as well from five rows back. Mm-hmm. I'm good. And I didn't sleep on a wet sidewalk to make it happen. You know
that
what I mean?
That is such a wildly specific
hyper-specific. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, Meryl Streep spat on me, and it was one of the best experiences of my life.
So maybe you did.
But
maybe you are glad that you slept on the
thing. I'm just glad that I was 21, 22.
When you did it.
Yes. Because you could not drag me. You could not. It would not happen. And like, that's a lot of, I think, part of it, too. It's just like, A, I hate shopping. I don't want to do this again. So I'm going to spend more to get something I like and I know will last. And then I don't have to ever fucking think about it again.
Well, also that's just having a cohesive, I feel like, in your late 20s, early 30s, that's when you start to have a cohesive idea of what you actually like.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
It's also just
what's
like,
trendy or what's in front of you or what's, you know, what's available.
Because it's also different buying furniture than and like owning a home and being able to remodel a home instead of like finding. I guess for me personally, a part of it is that I own my home. Right. Well, I have a mortgage, but like I own my home. I don't have to buy inexpensive stuff that fits a space that I may not be in 2 years.
Yes.
Right now, I'm buying things because it fits this house, because I am in this house until I sell this house.
Right.
No landlord's just going to be like one day, hey, get
out. I'm raising your rent $700.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it or leave it. Bye.
It's just fascinating. It's just very interesting. And I just happened to, I saw that post the day. Like the first night that I was laying in my new bed scrolling Tumblr, and I was
aww,
like, I feel seen.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So but I think it's probably a combination of natural factors, including but not limited to me incepting you via Lady DIY Instagram.
Well, no kidding, because to give you context, Mel. I can't remember if I told you this, but the reason I bought my bed is because originally I did not have hot water at this point.
Oh, God, Sabrina. Oh, my God.
I did think to myself, I fucking hate this bathtub. I hate this shower situation.
Yeah.
What if I just rip it out myself and regrout it all? Retile and regrout it all? To be clear, I've never touched wet grout.
No, I hear you.
I don't think I've ever seen wet grout. And like, what a terrible place to decide to try those skills out than
when you don't have hot water.
My only bathroom. So like, if I fucked up that bathroom, I'm in for a world of hurt. And then I did talk myself out of that. And I was like, well, what if I could start painting? Sabrina, bitch, my fucking DeLulu friend. You don't have hot water.
You can't bathe, ma'am.
You can't shower.
No.
In warm
water.
You're not
going to get those paint flecks out of your hair ever if you do it right now.
So instead, I did buy a bed.
That's really exciting.
And now I have hot water.
I will say that all of these like maximalist decorators, Heaving Bosoms follows.
No,
that,
it's
like,
you.
DIY.
You follow. I'm just forced to come
Everybody
along.
Else is just along for the ride. Yeah. All these maximalist decorators make it look so easy to just regrout a
easy.
Whole kitchen. You know,
like, and not even necessarily maximalist decorators, like any fucking DIY person, they're like, look what we can do. And I'm like, I can do that. My toxic trait is watching somebody do some crazy shit that I've never even touched.
Never contemplated.
I could do that.
I can absolutely do that. Look, they just did it. I know how to do it now. The amount of times that Michael's been like, can we take one pause? Like, just real quick, just let's talk it through before you jump into this thing. And I'm like, oh, I already have grout in the basket.
By the way, of note, one of the people that you follow on our shared account did, in fact, give me some neat ideas. So,
really? What is it? You got to start sending me them and be like, I'm going to incorporate this into
I'll start sending them. You know what would make
DIY
it really
life.
Easy to... You want to know what would make it really easy to send them to you?
If I used my personal Instagram?
If you got back on your personal Instagram.
How dare you? That's what we have a
WhatsApp
for.
I'll tell
for.
You. Do you know how many people I have sent a post from Heaving Bosoms to my personal Instagram so that I could go follow them on my personal Instagram and like it?
No.
On my personal...
No, I don't know why you would do that. You have one at Heaving Bosoms is, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, that's where I live. That's where I am.
You are
is
a
Heaving
fucking
Bosoms
gremlin.
Is. I know.
You are a messy fucking gremlin. I'm sorry, a sloppy gremlin.
I'm a sloppy gremlin. Okay, listen, before we get into this, man, a listener, just for the record, the chat we just had in the real world was 18 minutes long as of right this moment. And so you're going to be just blown away by the editing that happens. Okay. And some of those listeners who are going to be blown away are new people who have joined our Patreon. And we're going to shout them out.
Oh.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, y'all. Big, giant welcome to Ariel C and Lingo P.
To Laura M and Ashley P.
Sarah B and Wheezy Reads. I'm so glad I got that one.
Abby O and Lion N.
Paula and Christy A.
Jessica P.S. and Jessica P.
Amelia R.C. and Kara M. Welcome,
thank
everyone,
you. Hello.
To the Heaving Bosoms Patreon. And thank you, seriously, thank you for supporting us. I know
Absolutely.
That there are like 11 billion creators that you could be supporting. And the fact that you have chosen us as one of those people,
it means a
metric fuck ton. Yeah. So, hey, welcome. I hope you have a great time. I hope you love either coming to the watch parties or watching the watch parties back. Oh, and the Discord. Join the Discord. It's hot in there. Okay, so this week we're doing something different. Speaking of Patreon.
Yeah. Listener, we love you.
Hey,
we had big
listener.
Plans. We had big thoughts. We had big feelings. And
yeah.
Then we are releasing one of our Patreon episodes from a couple of months ago.
Yeah. So this has allowed us to get ahead.
That's exactly it. So this is behind the scenes. Y'all don't know this, but when we first started recording together, we were like 3 to 4 weeks ahead of schedule.
Right. And it was a beautiful place to be. Ooh, I wanted to put my butt all over it.
It was wonderful because if we needed to move a recording back, if we needed to make a change, if we needed to do like
literally
yada,
anything,
yada, it was so easy to do. And then like life happened. And
right.
All of a sudden we were the week before like, fuck. Okay, we have we don't really want to record today, but we
have
no
room.
Choice.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
This is it.
Yeah, so this is something that we don't do and we're not going to do often, if at all, because we really do want to keep the value that we have in the Patreon. But we thought that releasing this would be especially nice for everyone because this is a series that people really, really love. It's a series we've covered on the podcast
that we
and then
loved
we did
all
I
the
mean,
way through.
Yeah. It's a series that we covered, like we just wanted to finish. So we covered the rest of the books on Patreon.
Because that's the thing that we do on Patreon.
Yeah, that's one of the things.
We finish series nowadays.
Yeah, if we possibly can. Man, I wish we could finish those Sinsters, you know, but it's like 18 books. And I...
Maybe one day. It'll be a reading roundup.
There we go. One day. Yeah. So anyway, we had this chat a little while ago, but we hope that you love it. Here we are recapping The Master by Cressley Cole.
Okay. Are you ready to talk about what we're here to actually talk about? Are you ready?
Okay. Melody.
I don't know if I'm ready.
Listener, we are doing the last two books in the Game Maker series. You will have already listened to us discussing the horny fuckfest that was The Professional.
Yeah.
On the public feed.
They only get hornier, question mark. They stay horny at the very least.
I would say that they're similar levels of horny. They're just different kinds of horny.
Yeah.
Although they definitely all have BDSM elements, but sure. Like, y'all. So we've already talked about Professional, Melody.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I had no idea what I was walking into.
Right. You expected mafia. You got BDSM.
I continued to feel that way through the next two books because every time I thought that I had like a lay of the land. So like in The Professional, we have this idea that Maxim is this dangerous fucking like
politician, mafia boy.
Politician. Y'all,
he's an oligarch for...
He's not. He is a precious baby angel.
He's a precious broken boy.
This whole series is precious broken boys. Is. Oh, and we... Okay, so we said that we were going to rate cowboys, and we totally forgot in our rank of, like, favorite to least favorite.
Yes.
But we have to do it further. Actually, let's do cowboys right now. Okay. What's your ranking for cowboys?
My ranking for cowboys is Sam, Jesse, Zach.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I brought this
up. So that's
up. I don't
that's book two,
how I,
book three,
I don't remember
book
how
one.
I rated Jesse versus Zach.
You had a hard time with Jesse's book for the first like half of it.
Yeah, but that was like personal stuff. Like
Still,
that was just like my own.
This is your personal ranking,
I think that
Sabrina.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah. I think that mine would be just because of the issues that I had with Jesse's book or the challenge. Issues. It was challenges.
Right.
I'd go Sam, Zach, Jesse.
I like it. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's your professional rank?
I can't
suspect
do
we're
going
to do this the same. Really? I have no fucking problem.
I was just
three,
about
two,
to
one,
say,
baby.
Is the
three,
master
two,
my
one.
Favorite? Is the player my favorite? That's the question. I fucking
okay,
loved
that was,
both
that's
of
a hard
them
question.
So hard.
So I, up until the last, like, 7 to 10% of the player still thought that the master was my favorite.
Uh-huh.
And then I finished the player
swinging.
And I was like, oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So mine is minus 3-2-1. Easy. No question.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's it, right? Cause like, I don't know. The master is so good and I love Maxime.
Well, and like I told you, we talked, I sent you a voice message or like, no, we talked on the, we had one of our meetings and I was like, I don't know how I cannot wait for Dimitri's book, but I can't see how I'm going to love Dimitri's
Both
book.
Both of us were really worried.
The master.
Yeah. We were worried
about
Dimitri's book.
I knew for a fact though. I knew for a fact though that The Professional would be my least favorite.
Yeah. I mean, it's the... It
From, like,
happens
get.
So often, you know? It happens so often in series.
Very, very... I'll put it this way. Very rarely is the first book in a series...
The best one.
Gonna be my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or even the second best one. Holy shit. So, okay. So let's start with The Master. All right? We start out with Kat Katya.
We start out with our heroine.
Yeah. She's in a slinky dress, kinda. And she's very nervous. She's going up to a penthouse that's like $10,000 a night.
She is $30,000 a night. It was $32,000 a night. Some shit like that.
That
was crazy. I know. I can't even fathom that. That makes me feel physically ill.
It's like some people's whole salaries.
That is significantly more than salaries I've had in my
sure
past.
I mean yeah
as
same.
A full-time
yeah.
like as a like my full-time 40 hours a week job, that is $10,000 more than I made at a full-time job.
Woof.
Like,
it's incredible.
My God.
Oh my God. Do horrifying. Good things with your money, billionaires. Anyway. So
no joke.
Maxine.
But yeah, she's
is
filling
not.
In. She's filling in for her friend because her friend is an escort and he has a very specific he orders the exact kind of escort. He likes them tall, European, blonde, and
big titted.
Like, big titties. And then he has a script where he just has them bend over and he like
get cuffed
them a little bit.
Yep.
And then he fucks them.
From behind.
That's it.
And then that's it. Oh, and they have a ball gag in their mouth so that he doesn't have
no
to
kissing,
hear them.
No touching.
Right.
No.
He doesn't have to touch
nothing.
Them.
They're essentially a warm fuck doll.
Truly. Yes. And he's a hobbyist. They call him a hobbyist because apparently Maxine.
Never the same woman twice.
Never the same woman twice. And he orders them every other night, no matter where he is in the world. ?
That's a lot of escorts.
Holy
I feel like you've run
sack.
Out of escorts at some point.
Yeah,
like,
right? Oh my God. So
his body count has to be in the thousands.
I can't even begin to think about his body count. Like, that's bananas.
I mean, like, I'm nowhere near close his number, and off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you every person. I don't know. Like, I couldn't give you names.
I definitely can't give you names. I can probably give you a good ballpark number. And that's only because in my early 20s, I did keep a list. But one of them was like Navy guy.
Well, you stopped keeping a list because you're probably because you're married now.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, it's a big part of it.
Okay. Well, I still have a list because I like knowing like I like knowing exactly like who because like
absolutely
and, like otherwise frankly some of them if I didn't have them on that list I would forget it.
Yes,
like every time I see the list to like add so because I never go in there except when I'm adding somebody. It's God, is that weird?
I wonder where my list is. No, I can't remember where my list is because it was like it was analog. I wrote it down on a paper.
Oh,
I don't think I have it digital.
Google Notes.
Yeah. Huh. I'll have to think about that. Anyway.
Can't even imagine. Like, I was running out of people I felt like at Lafayette, let alone hymns, who's spoken all over the world, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Like, I know
it's
that there's
crazy.
Billions of people in the world, but, like, that's a lot of fucking people, Maxine.
But, like, it's a pretty small subset that are escorts, though, at the very least.
Exactly. Like, point, I don't have the statistics for that.
Totally. So, anyway, so she shows up, and she is short. She's, like, 5'2". She's Latina. Her mom was Cuban, and her dad was, I think, an American-Cuban emissary, maybe. Is that how that worked? Anyway, so she...
I don't know if it was ever explicitly stated what her dad was, other than that he was over in Cuba for American reasons.
She says that kind of there was a... She says at the dinner, because he was like, hey, if you're going to lie, like, just so you know, it was really hard for Americans to get to Cuba in that time. And she's like, well, not if your dad's the schmurgelblurgle of Cuba.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's got long, dark hair. She's got smaller boobs. She's got a booty on her, though.
She got an ass on her.
Holy wow. Like, she's, like, super curvaceous. Her friend Ivana, the person who was meant to go to this thing, before she had a bad reaction to Botox, poor Ivana. Like, poor Ivana.
Yeah.
She really lost out because of that Botox. Although, she comes out better in the end.
Well, and also, like, it's not like he would have, like, she would have been his one.
Oh, absolutely. No. She would have been another escort. Yeah. But Ivana knows Kat Katya because Katya cleans her house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always being
like,
your body is amazing.
She actually, like, doesn't say she, like, cleans a lot of escort houses.
I don't know. I don't remember that. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. But she's like, you've got an amazing body. You should be an escort. I make thousands of dollars in one night. And so this is the...
How does one sign up?
No, right?
To be
I know.
An escort. Like, I don't need to use either of my degrees.
I know. I know. I mean, here's the thing. I think that, and then I remember being like a bartender and dealing with just men in public. And
I don't That's know fair, that it's worth it.
In reality, I'm not, I would, yeah, I'm not going to end up with.
We're not going to get a Sebastian.
Any of these rooms. Yeah, no, we're not. What'll end up happening is I'll end up with the man who berated me. Oh, like at yes, Walgreens that's when the I one. Was the ASM. Like, mm-hmm. I would end up with that one who was pissed that we were out of a certain kind of ice cream.
Yes.
And that we didn't sell beer. And I'm like, sir, this is a dry county. Nobody sells beer. Uh-huh. And I'm not in charge of the ice cream. I don't know what to tell you.
No, that's for sure who we would get. And like, I would, I don't know if you, anyway. So, yeah, it's a tough job. I mean, that's one of the reasons sex work is such tough work, because you have to be there the same and for like, every person.
Yeah.
No matter what your personal mm-hmm. preferences are, and you can't show your personal preferences. And mm-hmm. like, that's one of Sebastian's main sticking points, because when she shows up, apparently her dress is like high necked. But it has got a really low back.
Because she thinks he's going to take it out to... She wasn't sure if he'd want to like go out to dinner or something. Yeah. So she dressed like more modest.
But like sexy hot.
He did not want to... Listener, he did not want to go out to dinner. No. He was ready to go down this script. I also just realized we need to fucking cruise.
We do. We do.
Because
so at first he's like, no dice.
She's like, you don't want...
Oh my God. Yeah.
You don't want what you think you want.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, really now? Like, you're going to tell me what I want. And then she sits him down on the couch and she straddles him and she says, I'm not going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you what you need. And then she just starts dry humping him. Like, just.
It don't stay dry.
It does not. No, because she's got no. I think she's got maybe undies
on. A wet spot.
I know.
She has a thong. She leaves a wet spot on his pants and he does not believe her. He thinks that she is like playing him and like acting it out. Like, oh yeah, this feels so good. And like, he like lifts her up right as she's about to come. And she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And he sees the wet spot on his crotch and he's like, you're
into this. And she's like, yeah, I am.
Uh-huh. They make out.
They make out. He's not kissed anyone in forever. She doesn't know that, but like, they make out, they do all this stuff. He's talking about like what a pro she is. And he keeps on being like, this is the part where you upsell me. This is the part where you say you want to stay the whole night, or like, this is the part that you say you can do one extra thing for $2,000 more or whatever. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And she's like insulting to him sometimes. And she's just like,
oh yeah,
absolutely not. Like, you can go ahead and flatter yourself, but no, I'm not going to do that. But like,
and then so yeah. like they're like stuff on the couch, and then he ends up picking her up and like taking her over to the bed and like finger banging the shit out of her. And then he, what?
I don't remember that. I thought it was all on the couch.
Oh, no, they end up on the bed because he's like finger fucking her. And then she like, he starts fucking her on the bed, yeah. like just pistoning her.
Yeah.
And I did have to laugh every single time that he came. But, like, in all three of these books,
all
every time
of them,
any of these
you're
men
stealing
come, they're
my
like,
come!
Or no, they're like bellowing. They like throw their
oh,
heads
yeah.
back and they're like,
they bellow.
Mm-hmm. I can't. Mm-hmm. It had me laughing every time.
Well, but it's also but, like, you're milking.
But I was also laughing.
You're milking my cock. You're stealing my cum before I'm ready.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they're
yeah.
always talking about. Uh-huh. How, like, they're coming too fast because of these ladies. It's so funny.
Uh-huh. And then, yeah. And so then it's done and he goes to shower.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, well, I'll stick around for a bit.
Because technically he paid for 6 hours.
Yeah.
And so she's like, maybe he wants to go again. And then he comes out of the shower and he's like, you're still here?
And she's like, nope.
And she's like,
not anymore. She puts her clothes
sure
on. And he's like, this is where you tell me you want to spend the whole night. And she was like, oh, no, I'm good. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And then she
something
says,
about
like,
a tip. And he's like, there's money on the dresser. Take as much as you think you're worth, or like as tonight is worth. And she fucking, there's like $2,000 in a money clip. So she takes the whole fucking thing and the money clip and just saunters her happy ass out of that room.
I have a legitimate question for you because this mystified me. All right.
Okay.
Isn't that exactly what you would do? Like, I might leave the money clip, but But you give me a blank check and you've been an asshole to me after I just rocked your world. I'm going to take all of that $2,000. What are we talking about here?
Melody, I talk a big game, but I cannot even imagine myself in this situation because the minute he was mean to me, I would have shut down.
Okay.
I would have shut down, Melody.
Okay.
Like I talk a big game. I can say all of these. I can't even imagine myself in that situation because I'm feeling deeply uncomfortable just thinking about the situation that led up to.
Fair enough.
Like, I'm struggling to see myself in that situation, let alone to the point at the end where I'm sassing him and he's sassing me and I'm not crying.
Yes.
Like, that's just...
No, don't get me wrong. I would absolutely sob in the cab on the way home. However, judging from the way I responded to customers in different service industries, this is exactly what I would do. And like,
I like to believe I would have taken it money clip and all.
No, but here's the thing, listener. This is the crazy thing, is that when she leaves, for the rest of the book, she thinks to herself, is he going to be mad at me for stealing from him? Bitch, you didn't steal from him. He said,
she did.
Take what? No, she didn't.
She took that money clip. Clearly, he was intending the cash.
No, he said, take whatever you think you're worth. Yeah, I am absolutely worth this gold money clip. Sorry, I might use it as a nipple clamp later. I don't know. Like, what are you doing? No, you didn't steal from him.
He probably liked that.
He said, take as much money as you want to take. And then you took that money. That's not theft. That's a good tip that you controlled.
Oh, yeah. No, the money. Absolutely not. The money is not theft. Take that fucking money.
Okay.
Take that $2,000.
Yeah, I probably would have left the money clip, but I definitely would have taken every single penny on the top of that dresser. Fuck that guy. Anyway, so she feels icky as fuck. He makes her feel so icky.
Yeah, because he's a dick.
Yeah, she was like, she's like, her whole thing is like, I'm going to do this one. Okay, so the important thing to know about her is that she's been on the run.
Yeah, this is when she gets back to her apartment. We learn a lot about her.
Yeah, she's been on the run for the past 3 years from a guy that she married when she was like barely 18. And because she thought she saw him recently, that's the only reason she ended up actually accepting this escort job, because she needed cash very fast so that she could like leave the next day. And she hasn't been able to save any money because she's got a really predatory super who is sort of forcing her to pay him not to assault her on a regular basis. It's just like terrible. There's leaks all over her roof. It's a terrible, shitty, awful apartment. And so she's in this situation where she feels incredibly unsafe. So she's like, I'm going to take this escort job one time. I'm going to figure out a way to be okay with it. I'm going to make the money I need to make, and then I'm going to split. And then she gets to this job where she like handles herself and she actually enjoys it. And she comes like a freight train and she feels really, really good about it. And then at the very end,
she takes her pleasure.
Yes. Yes. And then at the very end, this guy makes her feel just so small. It's so
like,
mean.
Gross.
Yeah.
He's a dick. Like, to be clear, he's a dick at the beginning of this book. And he always stays kind of overbearing and possessive.
Yeah, but like,
who of these Sebastian men aren't like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought I had highlighted the rules that she gave herself, but I did not. That's what I was looking for.
One is never stay in the same place for more than 6 months. Two is don't tell anybody anything.
Don't get attached.
Ever. Three, don't get attached.
There's
four,
six of them.
Keep a low profile. Like, don't, no undue attention. Five, it's like all that kind of stuff so that she's permanently mobile. Like, even she has to be emotionally mobile in order to not get murdered by this ex-husband.
Yeah. And she's also in school,
yes,
to be clear. She's trying to finish up her degree in business. I think it's business. And so she had started school in Jacksonville. This takes place in Florida, by the way. She started school in Jacksonville, Florida. And then now she's in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Miami. Because she's been running. She's on the run. Did you explain to them why she's on the run?
No, not yet. You can.
We may as well.
Yeah.
So she's on the run because the man that she married,
Edward.
Edward?
Edward Charles.
Yeah.
He's a con artist.
Remembering people's names. He's a con artist. Turns out he was stalking her, essentially, getting a profile on her, and decided that when she turned 18, she was going to be the one that he...
He's a black widow.
Yes.
He marries rich women, and then he murders them with a partner, with his romantic partner, Julia.
Yeah. And so he chose her because her parents died, leaving her an enormous fortune, millions and millions and millions of dollars, and like a bunch of beachfront property in Miami that is worth like, or maybe it's in Jackson. I don't know.
Doesn't
somewhere matter. On the coast of Florida. Doesn't fucking matter because any fucking coastal land in Florida is going to be super expensive and worth a fuckload of money.
Yeah.
And so he married her. And then he, because he's a lawyer, handed her a bunch of stuff. Like, this is the most 18-year-old shit I've ever heard in my
poor
life.
Poor baby.
Well, because I would have done this shit at 18.
Absolutely. I
she
think
trusted
I met
him.
The man
he
of my
seemed
dreams.
Amazing. He was there. He was there to, like, be a shoulder for her when her whole family is dead.
Oh, yeah, because her mom just died when he arrived. Hint, hint.
Yeah.
He definitely killed her mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he killed her mom after they were together.
Yeah, but they hadn't married yet.
Yeah, and so she ends up married. He hands her some stuff to sign over, and she doesn't read the fine print. She doesn't read any of it.
Yeah.
She just signs it. He now has control over everything except for that land, because that land is in a trust.
Yep.
And so he is like, I need to get access to that land somehow. So he and Julia, his lover, had come up with some kind of plan of some kind in order to get the land from her, but they already have the millions of dollars and things like that. And then she gets home. She gets home early for whatever reason. And she walks in and he and her are talking. He and Julia are talking about this plan that they have to kill her and how like she might be too smart, but also like she's just a dumb little girl and blah, 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 blah.
And they're like having sex in her bed.
To murder her.
Mm-hmm. And Julia's like, no, this one's a problem. She's not malleable like the other ones. She might be like young, but she's a problem. And he's like, no, don't worry. I'm going to kill her dead. No problem.
And what we end up finding out is a big reason that she's on the run is because when she heard them talking in that room, she went and got her gun.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked into that room and was like, you both need to explain what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Edward, you have to tell me what the fuck is going on. What the shit, dude? And he's like, oh my God, nothing. This is just like, he pulls all that normal shit that somebody literally caught cheating in their own bed says, all the bullshit. And she's like, fuck that. And then she sees him, like, long story short, a bunch of stuff happens and she ends up shooting Julia by accident.
It's a big old accident.
It is, because he like jumps at her and lunges at her and like knocks her. And when her arm goes flying, bang,
bang.
And then Julia is literally shot in the throat
and making like gurgle noises. It's bad.
It was graphic.
And then he's like, I'm going to kill you to death.
I'm going to fucking murder you.
I'm going to chase
like,
you to the
end
of the earth.
And this is not going to be. Yeah, this is not just because of this. It's not even because of the plan now. Now this is revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so she fucking hit the road. She got the fuck out of Dodge as fast as she could, which like fair.
That's exactly correct. That's exactly what you do.
Yeah.
And so since then, she's been on the run trying to finish her degree because that was her mom's like dying wish. Her mom had two dying wishes. One, don't marry Edward. And two, finish your degree. She was like, I can do one of those. So
I can do one of those things.
Yeah. So she's at the end of the semester. She has one more test to take in one simple econ class. And she's going to have a finished degree in her pseudonym, right? Like in her fake name. But she's hoping she can like get those credits transferred somehow. I feel like it's a pipe dream, but it won't matter.
Yeah, because her actual name is Lucia.
Yeah.
She goes by Kat.
Or it's Lucia.
Oh.
Yeah. You want to know why I said that? Because in book two, she's Lucia, according to the audiobook narrator. And then suddenly in book three, she's referred to as Lucia.
Fun.
So
I'm going to personally stick with Lucia just because that's all of the people I've ever known.
Yeah.
IRL who have that spelling. It's Lucia.
Yeah.
But maybe it's different for like Cuban pronunciation. But regardless.
From different regions, yeah.
So this is when, like, that now you have the backstory, and we really don't have to touch on this a whole lot now until the very, very end of this book, because now it is just, like, full-on Sebastian possessive bonkersness.
Bananas!
He tried his best. Maximilian tried his best to be like, no, I'm not going to call her, even though she's all he can think about because she just rocked his fucking world.
She gave him literally revolutionary sex, because we find out later he hasn't been able to, like, touch anyone for years.
No, but while he's been able to touch them, they can't touch him.
Yeah, but even when he touches, like, it's not...
He doesn't want that's true.
A lot of it.
And so he goes fully off the rails. He calls, what's that dude's name? Andrew or some shit? The, like, the
Uncle
guy
Anthony.
Who runs the S. That's it.
Yeah.
I know names.
Yeah.
To be fair, I have read like 8 books since I read this one.
Meanwhile, to be fair, I read both of these books twice. Again.
See, this is the difference between you and me is, yeah, I go through like 400 books a year, but it's because I only read them once.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I take my notes. But yeah. Anyway, Maxime calls Uncle Anthony and is like, I need that woman's information.
Meanwhile, and the issue is that Anthony doesn't have her information because she doesn't actually work for the agency.
Because she's not an escort.
So Anthony is trying to call Ivana to get information. Ivana is trying to get a hold of Lucia. Lucia is like at school cleaning houses, doing all this stuff with her phone off. By the end of the day, Maxime has paid $10,000 for her private
phone number,
even though she told everyone she did not want to share her private phone number. And Ivana was like, listen, I have family in the Ukraine. I took the money. Like, we can get you a new number. And she's like, okay, fair.
Yeah,
so he calls her and he says, I want you at my hotel in 15 minutes.
No.
Oh, what?
She calls him because she calls him and she's like, what's your game, Sebastian?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he's like, what do you think it is?
Oh, because she thinks he's mad about the theft, the quote unquote theft.
Yeah.
She thinks he wants to punish her.
Clearly, this man who's paying, literally, he's there for 7 days. He's staying someplace where it's going to cost him upwards of $250,000 to stay there for one fucking week.
Oh my God, it makes me
he's
nauseous.
He's mad about the money clip. Like, anyway, and like, if it was like a family heirloom or something, maybe, but like, not if you actually know his family. So
for
she's
sure.
like, I'll get here in 15 minutes. And she's like, no, that's not going to work. I can be there at 9 tonight or something like that.
At the earliest, she gives him a really hard time up until then. She's like, no, that's not how it works. You should have booked me when I was there. But instead, you were a rude asshole.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like, okay, get down here at 9, wear something sexy.
Oh, and so the first time he has her, he pays $5,000, right?
Yeah.
So she ends up making $7,000 for that first night.
Mm-hmm.
This time, she shows up, and you're right, he says, wear something sexy.
And Ivana hooks her up.
Because it's a little bit too big on Ivana, and it fucking fits Kat like a goddamn dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God. Like, her booty is almost hanging out. She,
it's delicious.
Fine as hell. And then, she shows up, and he is agog. Like, jaw on the floor.
Mm-hmm. He's like, why didn't you wear this, something like this, the first day? You looked like a school marm. The first day. That's why I was going to turn you away. And she's like, okay, Russo. Okay. So he pulls her inside and he's like, I imagine that you're going to charge me $5,000.
And she's like, late booking fee is 10.
And then she's like, fuck, I should have gone higher, because he just hands her 10 grand without comment.
He was like, yep, there you go.
God damn it. To be hot, you know?
Oh, so then they start like kind of like getting intimate, and then her tummy grumbles, and he's like, oh no. And so he's like, we're gonna order. He takes her down to the restaurant at the hotel to eat. And so while they're down there, like, he starts like probing her for information, and she's like, no, I'm not gonna tell you anything. He's like,
about
what
herself.
If I paid you a grand for a thought, like, for a thing, anything, like, tell me literally anything. And she's like,
no, that's my hard limit. I'm not going to tell you anything. And then he's like, well, don't you want to know about me? because Vasily thinks you might be some sort of spy, either a government or a corporate one. And she's like, or like a political one or something. And she's like, no, I really don't want to know anything about La Mafia Russa, she says. I don't want anything to do with that. So no. And he's like, what the fuck? What's happening right now? And she says, I just, you know, if we're going to do this, then I just want to spend time with you. What you want to share with me, you can. But otherwise, I'm not going to ask you to share when I won't share. And he's having a very hard time with this. And she keeps on like subtly negging him. But it's all like truthful negging. She's like, no, you were an asshole to me. And like, you're hot, but being around you kind of sucks, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just like, you are a singular creature. Like he likes this.
Oh, he says that so much. He loves it. He loves it. Nobody's ever told him no. Yeah. Nobody's ever like pushed back.
No, not at all.
So not since he's been an adult anyway.
Yeah. So they go back upstairs and he's like, I'm booking you for the rest of the night officially. Oh, because down. Oh, my God. Down at the restaurant,
she goes to use the restroom.
Sure. That also happens.
Oh. Well, she goes to use the restroom and on her way back, a bunch of businessmen try and give her their cards, but she's not an escort. And so she's like, I'm not taking these cards. He sees it and he's like, he's possessive and upsetty Betty. And she's like, shut the fuck. Basically, like, she's like, shut the fuck up.
This actually didn't track for me because since he's so possessive, to me, it seems like he would see her literally throw up her arms saying, no, 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 thank you, but no, and walking back to him. I think that should make him happy. But instead, he's like, you should not be trolling for new clients when you're on a date with me. And it's like, she obviously wasn't.
I don't know that she was throwing up her hand. Like, it could have just looked like they were having a conversation.
No, it says that she throws up her hands and she's like, no, no, thank you. Thank you so much. It's like an obvious no.
As far as he's concerned, it could be that she
just walking across the restaurant.
They said no. Well, like she went to them. They said no. And then she was like, oh, that's not what I meant. Like, I didn't mean to like imply that you're looking for company to, or like something like that. Like there's so many different ways.
Well, she,
like,
well, no, but how, like, for the record, she doesn't go up to anyone. They very clearly
come to her. No, she doesn't. It's just walking past.
Yeah.
Walking past the bar. Anyway, this is all whatever. It doesn't fucking matter.
But what he says to her at that little dinner is, you said that it was my loss when I didn't want you to spend the rest of the night, like the night we were together. What would we have done? And she goes on this whole thing where she's like, well, we would have had some more champagne and, or like some drinks. And then we would have gone out on the terrace. And then I would have stripped down naked and I would dive into the pool. And like,
and watching me dive would change your life.
Mm-hmm. Watching me
which it
dive
does,
naked.
To be clear.
Yeah.
At some point, she dives into the pool and he's just like, when she comes back up, he's like looking at her like, whoa.
Yeah. And she's like, then we would like maybe wrestle and then you would tickle me and then we would like have more sex. I would like ride you on a deck chair and stuff. And he's like very into it. So he takes her up to the room, gives her some champagne, and then they proceed to do all of those things while he's still trying to get to know her.
All fucking night. So much champagne, so much fucking. She wakes up in the morning.
Hungover as fuck. Like, I need to puke bile hungover. So she's shocked to wake up there in the first place. And then they have, like, a nice sort of morning. But then at some point, he says, are you on birth control? She's like, no, but I have a prescription I'm going to get on birth control. And he's like, why would you tell me to come inside you? And she's like, what? No, I would never do that.
I said, what?
I would never do that. And he's like, no, we went over to the couch. I had a whole conversation with you about how we both had like clean health records and I didn't want any barriers between us. And you were like, yeah, sure. Most definitely. Let's do that. And so I'm a single billionaire. You happen to be at your most fertile time of the month and you tricked me into coming in you like no less than half a dozen times, which like he's like 32. Good job, Maxim. 6 times in a single night while drunk, Maxim? Wow. I don't know about that. No?
I don't know. Hmm. I haven't had that much sex with penises.
Mom. No, I know. But even just the exhaustion alone, I feel like.
I mean, I don't know. I had like 12-hour fuckathons with ex-girlfriends. So like.
All right. She talks about talking a big game. Look at her. She knows. She knows.
No, like, I'm not kidding. Like,
No, I know.
I'm fucking daring you.
I'm saying that there's a good reason you talk a big game sometimes. What do you want from me?
I have some game. most of my game skills involve taking couples home from the bar and having 12-hour fuckathons. So, like, I don't want to take that as you will.
That's fair.
But anyway, regardless.
So he's you live here now.
He ends up. He brings a doctor in, and so he straight up, he birth controls the shit out of her.
Uh-huh.
She gets this fancy shot, which doesn't actually exist, according to the author's note, because she was like, it literally in the author's note, she's like, I took a little bit of liberties with the birth control shot. But she gets a shot, she gets an IUD put in immediately. Apparently, she's got a tight, tight cervix and it's full heart. And I was like, that's a mood. And then he's like, yeah, you're not leaving. You're here until the 28th. And she's like, that's not going to work.
Yeah, and he's you're here until I know for sure you're not pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you tricked me. So now you're mine until I don't want you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're not going to have any access to outside world.
Mm-hmm. So that's what happens. And at first she's really, really mad, but then she gets horny. And he's like, there are two rules in my presence. One, you don't are they the same rule? Is one, you don't come without me, and the other one's don't touch yourself?
You'll follow two rules when you're with me. You do not lie.
Yes.
And you do not touch yourself unless I've commanded you to for my entertainment.
Yeah. So she's like, fuck that and fuck you. I'm going to go touch myself right now. Bye. And he walks in being like, absolutely not. If you have these urges, you come to me.
Mm-hmm. And then he brought her hand to his mouth to suck her middle and forefinger between his lips.
And then he goes down on her like a champion, because this is the first time
he's ever gone down on somebody. Because he says it. He's like, I've never given a shit about if a woman enjoys it. I'm using them. And I actually give it, like, for the first time in my life, I care about you having a good time.
Nuts. And she has a good time.
And then they have some hot, hot sex. And then he gets up and heads out. And then he walks back in with a chastity belt. Because he's like, you're not allowed to touch yourself. And so he does. He puts it on her before he leaves.
And
he takes the key and puts it around his neck. And then he goes to work. He goes to meetings.
He tries to go to work. But then he's back 2 hours later. And he's like, I couldn't stop thinking. And like, he opens the door. She runs across the room and like throws her legs around him.
Launches herself on him.
They just mount each other.
Oh my God. And then they have some fucking hot sex. And like, this just, oh my God. And she can't, because of the IUD, she cannot have penetrative sex.
For right a minute. Now. Yeah.
So don't they do anal?
No. Mm-mm. No, that's not until the wedding. So what they do now is he puts her in the chastity belt. And then that night he's like, okay, go to sleep. And she's like trying to like hump the bed. She's so horny, but she can't like get any, you know, friction or anything. And so then in the morning, she wakes him up by like licking his dick and his balls or something like that. And because he says like, you can only get the chastity belt off if you convince me to take it off. And she's like, okay, slurp, slurp a derp. And then he goes, so he takes it off and he goes, okay, ride me. And she goes to hop on his dick and he's like, no, I cannot be inside you until later.
I love a face sit. Like every time it happens in a book, I'm just like ecstatic. Like that is one thing. Like all three of these books, there's like sexy stuff in there that I just do not see often enough in other books. And it just, oh God, I just love a face sit.
So she sits on his face and he loves it. So then he tries to go to work again and she gets really fucking pissed and she's fucking bored. So she just starts ordering. Mm-hmm. She also has no clothes. She has nothing there. She doesn't like, she only has like the hotel toothbrush or whatever.
So she starts like ordering shit,
she orders so much drinks stuff for the entire hotel that day. She orders a treadmill. She orders like everything her heart desires. And
they also, she has started ticking off on the mirror uh-huh. with a Sharpie how many days she's there. Like she's in fucking prison.
She's been kidnapped.
Like, yeah, it was great. Yeah. And like they start like this happens throughout the book, but they're like writing each other notes back and forth like after like the fifth day
they're hot.
Of her being there. And it's just like, it's just so hot. So he has these like people over because they are trying to woo him yeah. to join their business prospect mm-hmm. stuff. And so they're there and she walks into the fucking...
Because he tells her, stay hidden. Don't come uh-huh. out. And she's just like walking around in just her little thong and bathing suit and stuff. And then she goes in and puts on her like running gear to get on her brand new treadmill. I'm sorry. That just like mm-hmm. blew my mind. And... then she goes out and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, boys. Oh, I'm just so dumb.
By the way, she's not wearing her chastity belt. No. And so she's like, all of them can't stop looking at her. And like, all of them are like, so like, you going to share Sebastian? Or like...
there was some grossness.
And he's like, absolutely not. Mm-mm. And she, to end this, though, she like leans down and bites his ear. And yeah. she's like, have fun in your stodgy meeting and know that once I've logged my miles... I'm going to finger myself furiously. And then she stands up, smiles at everybody, and then just like
bye
saunters.
Boys. So she gets off the treadmill. She's in the shower and he is at the door being like, you did not follow the rules. And she's like, but I thought you were in meetings. And he's like, no, as soon as I heard your treadmill turn off, I called the meeting and I told them we had to reschedule. So here I am. Uh-huh. And then they do mm-hmm. one of the sexiest, most possessive shower fucks I've ever read in a book. It's so hot.
It was good. Yeah. I don't remember what about it was so possessive. It was just him talking to her.
Yeah. Like, he was like, this pussy's mine. Pussy. You're mine. Yeah. You belong mm-hmm. to me okay. now.
I couldn't. I wasn't sure. Remember sorry. I'll be honest. The shower scene in the third book completely wiped this shower scene from my memory.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. That's fair.
But yeah, after the shower, after they fuck, he takes her back into the bedroom and then they do some more fucking uh-huh. kind of stuff. But he's like, I am going to whip you because you need a punishment.
Yeah.
And she's like, you don't get to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get to abuse me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's not abuse. Abuse is one way with the intent to hurt. What I do with you is shared pleasure and is a two-way interaction. I'll be assessing your response as usual. Oh and so God. He's been like keeping an eye on like her eyes dilating and her heart rate. When he holds her wrists, he keeps like one finger on her pulse mm-hmm. and like checking like the flush of her skin. So he's like checking her bodily reactions to mm-hmm. all of these things. And like him talking about all of that was so fucking hot.
Such a competence like, boner. Like it's such I a know. Competence boner. But also like I have, here's one issue I had with this.
Uh-huh.
It's the same issue I have. With him just
with
like
the first book?
Being, no, with him just being a natural kind of linguist, you know,
yeah.
he spent his entire adult life. What he does like isn't really BDSM, right? Because even no. though the people are consenting, like they're not no. really, there's a weird power dynamic. There's a bunch of shit. He doesn't care if they get off or not. He doesn't care if they're into yeah. it. So being like a master dom immediately.
Whimsy.
You're right.
Whimsied right past that.
I did too, for the record. But I did want to say it out loud. Yeah. So he does some spanks on her.
Oh, and at one point he is like, well, I don't remember exactly what it is. Literally all I have highlighted though, and I know why I highlighted this because it touched me. And also like later in the book, it's going to hurt me.
Uh-huh.
Is he says, if I lick your flesh, will I taste the sun? Because she's been all tanned.
She's been sunning all day.
It's going to hurt when we explain why that's going to... The sun. Yeah. And so, oh, and then this was so funny because, like, they're doing something, like, I don't remember exactly what it was either here, but she's like, just wait. And he's like, for what? And she's like, I'm doing a risk-reward analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, risk-reward. I don't know whether to kiss you or whip you harder. Mm-hmm. And I was like, heh.
Both.
Yeah,
so
it was.
Anyway, the next thing that happens is he hates Christmas. And
well,
she finds
on.
Out, oh.
This is important.
Okay.
At one point, he puts the chastity belt in her.
Oh, yeah.
But it has two plugs.
It has
got
plugs
a dildo
in it now.
and a butt plug, mm-hmm. and he leaves to go to work, and he only makes it like, he barely even makes it out the fucking door before yeah. he's back, and she's like wet as hell, and like then they just go to Pound Town.
Yeah.
It's so loved good. So like that's one thing. Like I'm saying all this shit about like there's not enough face sitting in a fucking blah blah, not enough chastity in BDSM romance. Like
yeah, I didn't.
If
yeah.
it's done right, I love chastity. Like on both. I don't know that I've ever seen.
I've never seen a boy chastity.
Penile chastity in a mm-mm. book.
No.
You know what else I've never seen in a romance novel or even an erotica?
Tell me.
Never seen CBT either.
No, that's tough to write. That's tough. That's real tough to
and
make
I guess, like, I understand that that would be hard to write, but mm-hmm. like.
For the record, listener, that's cock and ball torture.
If you. Oh, yeah. Well, listener, if you have read books or erotic, like generally eroticas probably, but also just heavy BDSM. Go lucky romance novels. Doesn't have to be an erotica that has chastity or CBT. Please let me know mm-hmm. at heavingbosomspodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, please. You know what? Katie put puppy play in one of the most recent Dark Olympus books. Maybe she'll get to CBT someday at some point.
Hey, I request it.
Hey, sky's the limit, you know? Anyway.
I request it.
Yeah. So, okay. They start doing all that chastity stuff. And then she finds out from Vasily, his head of security, that the boss hates Christmas. And then Vasily goes, you fix Christmas. It's so cute. So she like, she cooks Melody, and she bakes and she what?
I can't handle you in accents. You kill me. Every fuck, I'm such a slut for an accent. And then you just like, you salt that salt meme. It just like randomly. And I'm just like, every so time. It's happened a couple of times when you do fucking cast at, like, you start like talking, and I'm like,
shit. I'm but not like, gonna I was lie expecting, to you. It's one of my favorite things to do.
But then, like, I was not expecting the Vasily one. Like, I was just living my best life. And then you made it better, but worse. Anyway.
So, yeah, she cooks for everybody. And it's so cute. What?
One thing that's very important is he is convinced mm-hmm. she has a lover.
Yes.
And that's why she can't stay with him. And he is so fucking jealous. Like, he's obsessed so with it. Convinced. Yeah. And he is like, this ends up being a thing in the book where you find out that so she got a phone smuggled into her mm-hmm. and she's talking to her friend Ivana on the phone about stuff. And he has the whole apartment bugged. And so mm-hmm. he can hear everything. And so she never tells Ivana anything directly because obviously don't tell people anything, don't trust anybody, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But she says enough to Ivana that he gets the gist that there is somebody. So, but he thinks it's a lover and yeah. not her ex-husband who's trying, or current husband.
Trying to murder her, yeah.
Who's trying to murder her.
Yeah, what she says to Ivana is, Ivana says, well, are you involved with someone? And she goes, well, in a way. Because he's uh-huh. right. He keeps on saying every time you like get that far off look, I know you're thinking about another man. And he thinks it's in a sexy, longing way. And she's like, yeah, I mean, I am. But I'm thinking about how terrified I am that this man is going to find me and kill me to death. So, yeah, she tells Ivana, I'm sort of involved with someone. But she doesn't say, but not romantically.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to come back. So, like, he is, like, throughout this entire book, he is convinced that she has somebody. And he is outrageously jealous. Mm-hmm. But Christmas was super cute because, like, she told him a story about a red scarf and that comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she tells, like, she opens up a little bit about stuff that probably won't. Because, like, she's terrified of sharing anything because, like, he thinks she's 26, but at the very least, he knows she's in her 20s. And mm-hmm. so she's like, he can search, you know, Cuban,
20s, only child.
6-year-old, like, only child. So she's trying not to give him anything that he can find her stuff online. But on Christmas, Maxime is fucked up.
Like, he's a surly bear.
Mm-hmm. And he starts talking, though, at one point, and he's like, Alexander has changed for her for the better. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was possible for men our age to change. What do you think? It's your job to know men. And it's like, one, it's not her job.
For sure not.
Because he doesn't believe her that she's not an escort either.
Yeah.
He fully believes that she's an escort. And that's part of the reason he doesn't want her to leave the penthouse, the hotel, mm-hmm. is because he assumes that she's going out to meet other Johns. Mm-hmm.
And he refuses to believe that he is her first client.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you fucked too well to be anything but a pro.
This book was like whiplash compared to the first book, where like Alexander Roman wouldn't say anything,
nothing.
Wouldn't tell anything. And then Maximilian's like, here are all of my deepest traumas. Because he fucking, in this 1 week, he tells her everything.
Yeah.
She knows all about his past and like all of this
and
stuff.
And we find out later it's because he's trying to win her. Like, mm-hmm. we find out later he has heard that conversation, and his whole strategy is, I will just treat her incredibly and I will woo her away from whatever man this is.
Mm-hmm. So their week is coming up.
Yeah.
We're coming up on the end of the 28th.
Wait.
And he's going to...
Wait, real quick. So sorry.
Uh-huh.
The segue into this, because the 28th is coming up, but after Christmas, she fixes Christmas.
There's a wedding.
Yeah, so Alex is getting married to Natalie, and he has to go to Nebraska for the wedding. He's leaving on the 28th, and that's always been their, like, done date. But then, a couple of days before, he gifts her a laptop, and he mm-hmm. says, I have a bunch of business proposals and, like, real estate proposals that I want to look at, and I want you to tell me, like, your take on which ones. So they spend all day being business and economy nerds together, and she's just like, oh my gosh, this is the best. I get to like do work. She does this whole thing. He loves the way she thinks. She really wants him to like go after
he
this
gets a competency
hole.
Boner.
He does. Yeah. And then she reads his proposal, like his notes and everything, his breakdown, and she's like, oh my God, his brain is so hot. Like, I don't know what to do with mm-hmm. myself. And then as he's getting up to like go get a snack from the kitchen or something, he just says, you're coming with me to the wedding. And she's like, what? No, I super am not. And he's like, no, you absolutely are. And don't worry. I expect a rigorous negotiation for like price. And she's like, okay, this is all weird. And then she's like, no, I'm absolutely not doing that. And then he does your safe word
forced.
Is, yeah, forced orgasms. And your safe word is, yes, I'll go to the wedding. I'm not stopping until you say you're going to the wedding with me, Sabrina. This was fucked up.
This is so fucked up and problematic.
Yeah.
And it was also
hot. No, it was hot.
It was
so
hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
so
real great.
He ducked it,
but also
to
terrible.
Hitachi.
It was terrible, patron. It was bad.
Bad
it was
bad, so bad, so hot. He duct tapes a Hitachi magic wand to her thigh up like on her clit, and like he won't let her up until she says, yeah, I'm gonna go to the wedding with you. Mm-hmm. And so eventually she does, and then she has to move the test she was gonna take to like another like New Year's
the 31st.
Eve.
31st.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to the wedding now. Mm-hmm. So that's hot. The wedding's amazing. They fuck on the plane on the way there.
One last thing. Mm. One last thing. In this entire thing, he's saying like, she's like, what do you want from me?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, everything. Mm-hmm. And I'll have it out of you. 31 years of misery is lifted. I'm owed you.
Mm-hmm.
And she like they're going back and forth, and he's like, tell me I'm you're mine. And she's like, I won't tell you that. I won't do. And he's like, why not? Just tell me. And she says, when this ends, I want to be left in one piece, because as far as she's aware and as far as she's concerned, once they have an end date, once this is over, it's over. And she has already started to fall in love with him.
Yeah.
Like, she is not looking forward to the heartbreak that mm-hmm. is inevitable, essentially.
And he hasn't
And he says, your heart in one piece, too fucking late. Might as well enjoy the fall. And I was like,
Maxime, that's not reassuring. Like, aren't you supposed to reassure her at that point?
Fuck, you need to give her some words, my friend.
Yeah, you need to tell her that you want to date her and stop joking about how much it's going to cost you to do extra shit with her. You know, like you, it's your job as the client to change this relationship from business to personal, or at least float the idea, you know? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, she's finding out about his past and now thinking like, oh shit, he could maybe be like a partner and like a teammate and somebody who could help me.
I could trust.
And get help with Edward. Help protect me from Edward. Help defeat Edward. And so she's really grappling with that. They go to this wedding and he is in full boyfriend mode. He is introducing her as his woman. Reason,
by the way, the reason that this, I mentioned the red scarf thing earlier, is he got her some clothes and stuff for Nebraska because it's winter.
Mm-hmm.
And he got her a red scarf.
Mm-hmm. Because it was something she really wanted as a kid. And her mom was like, you're doing the sin of pride.
Well,
give me that scarf.
Her grandma made her one. Yeah. Oh, God. It was just super cute. And it just gave me the fuzzies.
Yeah. So he's introducing her as his woman. He's like getting really jealous when farmers look at her. They're just Iowa people.
Nebraskan farmers.
Oh, yeah. They're Nebraskan. Sorry. And he will only refer to them as farmers. He takes her riding. He fucks her in a covered bridge. You know, like, this is fucking romance, okay?
Well, at this point, we see something from Maxime's point of view when Alex, well, not from his, I guess it would have been from, see it.
No,
how would this
we're
have
never
worked?
In his
well,
point of
so
view.
What I have highlighted was, oh, Alex mentions it to Maxime in front of her.
Yeah.
And he says, I've never seen you happy. And Maxime says, happy. I suppose I am. And that's when my heart dropped out of my asshole.
I know.
Because I was like, it's about to be bad.
It's going to be terrible. Yeah. Also, he's calling her Solnishka, which is like my son, my personal son.
Yes.
And we find out at this place, like she finally asks about his past and he's like, oh my God, finally, like you're finally interested in me. And that's so exciting. This is all I've wanted for the whole time we've been together.
Oh,
and so so big trigger.
Heart.
I know. Big trigger warnings for child abuse and stuff.
Warning.
Real bad. Sexual, mental, physical, all the bullshit.
Emotional. All of the abuses.
Terrible. When Alex killed their dad and then split, they got that guardian. The guardian was a pedophilic predator.
Pedophile.
Went after and was grooming Dimitri, the baby. Well, the baby, the 7-year-old, I think. And Maxime was like, I'm pretty sure there's something weird happening. But poor Dimitri had been groomed hard. And so was like, no, nothing weird
is
happening at all.
Not only that, Orlov, their guardian, told Dimitri that if he tells Maxime anything, he will kill Maxime.
Yeah.
So obviously he's not going to say anything. And then Christmas.
Yep.
Maxime goes to put presents in
He goes to do
room.
The sweetest big brother thing I've ever heard in my life. Set up toys on Dimitri's floor.
And Dimitri is not in bed. And he ends up finding Dimitri in Orlov's room. And Orlov loses his mind and locks him in a basement for 6 months.
A Russian winter basement, cellar, even.
He doesn't see light for 6 months.
Oh my God, he calls her Solnishka. And he also tells Alex she makes things brighter. Oh my God, kill me fucking dead. Anyway, so what ended up happening is finally, because Dimitri, understandably, has sort of been going into dissociative fugue states. But at some point, he comes out of it and is like, oh, shit, my brother's going to die if I don't get him out of that cellar. So he ends up hitting Orlov with a snow shovel to knock him out, gets Maxime. And then while While Dmitri cries next to him, Maxim just strangles the life out of a knocked out Orlov and like, good on ya.
Yeah.
And then they put him out in the woods somewhere.
In the woods.
He was never found.
And they just say he's disappeared.
He did a big drunken hike in the snow.
So back in current times,
yeah,
this is when shit starts to hit the fan, because he makes it very clear to her that she's it for him.
By saying things like, at one point she's like, oh yeah, a hobbyist like you would know. And he says, a former hobbyist. And then she catches the bouquet.
Mm-hmm. She catches the bouquet. He ends up catching the garter.
Mm-mm.
And when he goes to put the garter on her, she tenses.
He says, do you think fate is telling us something? And she goes, because she's married. Like, the reason she does this is because she, if they were to have this conversation, she would have to tell him, I need to get a big divorce before we could think about doing anything. And like, also, you would need to know my legal name. Which you don't. And like, he knows he doesn't. So she
tenses.
Yeah,
and that's the thing is, he knows she's hiding stuff from him. He knows it. He just doesn't know what it is.
Or why.
And she's also like, how he's never had a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He's never had like all of these things. And she's like, how can he possibly be ready to commit the way that he's saying that he is? Which, like, fair.
Yes.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I would have the same question.
It's fair for all these boys.
But so then they get back.
And as soon as that happens, he's like cold. He spends the whole plane ride on the phone. She keeps on being like, what's going on? And he's like, I've got a lot on my mind. That's all. She's like, well, that really doesn't seem true, but okay. And then finally, when they get back, because she fell asleep on the plane and he was extra pissy then. They get back. She asks him what was wrong. And he says, who's Edward? Because she had a dream that Edward killed Maxime. And it really freaked her out. And so she was basically in her dream saying, Edward, no. But it sounded like she was just moaning another man's name. And he freaks out on her.
Pissed.
He's like, this was my plan.
Yeah.
I knew about the phone. I knew about all the things. I was going to win you. And then every one of your sphincters clenched when I asked you about maybe marrying. Like, so here's what you can do. Let's go to the courthouse right now and you can prove that you're not with somebody by marrying me. And she's like, no, that's bananas. Like, no matter what the situation is, that's bananas. And then finally, she just has enough.
Legally, I can't do that. She doesn't say that to him, but like, even if she wanted to.
Yeah, I don't want to be brought up on felony bigamy charges. And then finally, she's just like, you know what? Fuck this. Because from the very beginning, you have not given me the benefit of the doubt ever. You didn't believe you were my first client. You didn't believe, like, you don't believe anything I say, even though I tell you, I will never lie to you.
And on her way out, she tells him, you have no idea about my pride, Russian.
Yeah.
It burns so bright. I hope it fucking blinds you.
So hot.
And I was like, fuck, that hurt, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's the sun. And,
Oh, because when she's leaving, he's like, just ask me for all of your presents. Because he bought her, like, $500,000 worth of outfits and jewels.
Yeah, and she also... He was going to pay for all of those nights is 10 grand.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
At the very least, 5 grand.
A metric fuck ton of money.
Yeah, he owes her money. He got her a ton of presents. And she was like, no.
I don't want anything
from you. Don't let your pride keep you from taking
these. Yeah, just ask me, Katya.
And she's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
I will burn you, blind you with my bright pride.
And then she adds rule number 7, which is never fall in love.
Oh, my God.
So she gets home and she finds out, she goes to her little hiding spot in her apartment and all of her money is gone. Her mother's rosary is gone. Like,
and her original ID.
Like, everything is gone. Mm-hmm.
And like,
so she's like, holy
shit. That was her plan.
Shit.
She was like, I have 7 grand. I'm just going to get it and split. I'm going to take my test and I'm going to get out and I'm going to start over with my 7 grand. And now all she has is like less than $250. She ditches her phone in the cab.
So then she remembers that Ivana told her they would split the money from selling, which this is fucked up, but like right? They're going to split the money from Ivana and Uncle Anthony selling her personal phone number.
Anthony gets $5,000 and then the two ladies get $2,500.
What? Are splitting. Yeah. And so, but she's like, okay, that's fine. So she calls Anthony and she's like, I need my money. And he's like, I don't have it. I invested it for you because you're one of my girls now. And she's like, ah, fuck that. Absolutely not. And then she remembers that she was going to be going and cleaning a house one last time.
Wait, importantly, though, Anthony says, I don't have that money. And you're going to, you need to go out with this French billionaire because the Russian well has dried up for you. He just called and booked Ivana. So, like, you're never seeing that Russian again or any of his money. So she's fucking heartbroken. So she spends the night in her bathtub because she's worried that her super is going to, like, assault her in the middle of the night.
Because he can get in. She figured out that he's the one who stole the stuff.
For sure. And
obviously
then
he did.
She goes to clean that house because she has one more house cleaning she can do. She's going to clean a mansion for 100 bones. Oh.
Christ.
How dare.
Couldn't be me.
How dare this woman? And this woman is constantly threatening to sic ICE on her, basically, because she thinks she's undocumented.
Yeah.
It's just fucking awful.
Fucking racist asshole.
I know, right? So she's cleaning a toilet, and from behind her, she hears Maxim go, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "What the fuck? Get out of here. How did you know I was here? Blah, blah, blah." And he's like, "I had your phone bugged." What?
Oh my God, this is so important.
Yes.
So she has made it very clear to him, like, she has said this multiple times to him over and over and over again. I have never lied to you, Maxine.
Yes.
I have never, ever fucking lied to you.
She bobs and weaves.
Yeah. And he's like, well, please come with me. Like, come meet me. And she's like, I can't. I'm working and I have to do the blah, 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 blah. And she also has her test. Mm-hmm. And like, there's all sorts of stuff going on.
And also, she doesn't want to see you right now.
Yeah. And he's like, come to the hotel at blah, blah, blah. And she says, I can be there at 5 and I'll see you then. And his face is like shocked. And he's like, you just lied to me.
You're terrible at it.
You are terrible at it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when he really realizes, oh, my God, she's never lied to
me. Never.
Because I would have known.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I wouldn't have caught that because she's a terrible liar.
So then it starts pouring. She has to get to 2 buses in order to get to her test on time. She's running late. So she starts sprinting and he's following her, trying to be like, please just give me 5 minutes. I need one conversation. I made a mistake. Like, I fucked it. Okay.
God.
I want to unfuck it. Please.
I'm a man who accepts that he's the one who fucked up.
Yeah.
I love a grovel.
Oh, same. And so she's like, I don't have time for this. I have to go. And when she's waiting for her second bus, he's like, this is stupid. My Bentley is right there. And so he kidnaps her off the street again, like just takes her and shoves her in the car. And is like, Vasily, follow the bus or whatever, because I still don't know where she's going. She won't tell me. And he's like, what's going on with you? Why is all this happening? And so she tells him about the super. She tells him about, she's just like, I'm sick of men trying to control me and thinking they know best for me and stealing from me and shitting on me. And then he says, wait, you're lumping me in with Anthony and the super? And she's like, you're worse because I never believed in them, but I believed in you and I loved you. And he says, I don't have a lot of experience with this situation. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, I realized that I actually love someone more than I love myself or anything else. And I freaked out. Like, I didn't know what to do when I thought you were in love with another man.
I thought that your heart belonged to somebody else and I didn't know how to handle it. So I lashed out and hurt you.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
Meanwhile, he let her go that day because he wanted to, like, track
her
the dude.
He's been just been in the car. He's just been, like, throwing hundreds at her, basically.
Yes. He's like, I owe you so much money. If you won't have me, then at least, like, let me help you get to wherever you need to go. And she's like, fuck that and fuck you. I don't want anything from you. And apparently his plan was to, like, figure out where Edward was by following her and then offering him $1 billion
to,
like,
to
give her to him. Which, like, Maxime, that's not how that works, you sweet, sweet billionaire idiot. But anyway, and then, like, he's been in her apartment. And so he's like, what is happening?
What the fuck is this?
And also, you would rather be there than with me? And she's like, yeah.
I would.
Can you wrap your head around that? Like, that's how badly you fucked up. I would rather lay in my bathroom hoping I don't get assaulted than ask you for anything.
Oh, God, my heart.
Oh, my heart. Anyway, so she jumps out of the
car. They get to the campus and she's like, stop the car, and just like launches out and starts running. And so she makes it there in time, and she's getting ready to take her test. And then he texts her.
He pulls up across the street.
He figures out where she is, and he texts her and he's like, what are you doing?
He says, I don't know what you're doing, but I hope you do well.
And she's like, you broke my heart yesterday. And he says, let me mend it.
Let me mend it.
So then she takes her test and she goes up, and her professor is like, grades it for her. She gets an A. When she gets all of her credits together, she's going to graduate summa cum laude. Mm-hmm. And
she's going to have a 4.0. Like,
I know how that feels. Not to brag.
Please.
This is about to sound like a brag. But I graduated with both of my degrees summa cum laude. Mm-hmm. And that feeling of getting that last class, getting last test back, and going, because one test will fuck it up. It'll drop you down. And still 3.9. That's still, what is it?
Magna?
When you're above magna cum laude. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And it's still good, but knowing that you were so close, and this is her last, I got so many feelings.
And it's her
when
mom's
she got that
dying wish.
I know.
So good. But then the professor says, hey, a weird, strung out looking dude wanted to know if you were at school. And I lied to him and I told him you'd be here in the spring. I hope that's okay. And she's like, oh my God, thank you for doing that. And she's like, Edward was here. My spidey senses were correct.
So she calls Maxime and she says, I need you.
She says, Russo, I need help. And he says, anything. We will work it out together. Anything. And then on the way, she sees him across the quad. She's walking to him while on the phone. And then she does get stabbed in the chest by a husband.
Edward.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's like, I'll butcher
Edward
you.
Edward stabs the hell out of her.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees Maxime coming, Maxime and Vasily, and he's like, don't come any closer.
I'll
and
slit
Maxime
her throat.
Says, fuck that. So he, even though Edward has a gun trained on his head, Maxime comes storming forward to get her. She stabs Edward with the knife that he dropped to grab the gun. His shot goes wild, shoots Maxime in the shoulder, and then bang, bang, Vasily shoots the shit out of Edward. And Edward is... bye-bye.
Edward's alive enough to get put in the trunk alive, though. So,
yes, that's nice. True. That's true.
That's nice. So now they're in the car heading to the hospital. And this was one of the best written scenes ever. He's being like, no, stay with me. Talk to me. And at one point she tells him the whole story in broken sentences.
Maxime,
she goes, I
finished college today.
I got my degree today, Maxime.
And he says, congratulations, little love. We'll celebrate when you're better.
Yeah.
And they're finally figuring everything out. He's like, oh my God, you were leaving. You were going to take this is when it dawns on him that you were taking that test. And you were going to get the hell out of here. I forced you to stay in Miami. And I ended up driving you into his murderous arms.
Yeah. At one point, she's telling him all about everything that happened. And she goes, couldn't tell anyone, wore a muzzle, glad to have it off. I'm so glad I get to tell you everything now.
And then she tells him, I love you so much. And passes out. Everything goes black.
Well, right before that, he tells her something very sweet, I love you. And she says, are you telling me that because I'm dying? And he's like, no.
And this is also where he says, did you know that your name means light?
Yeah, Lucia means light.
Oh, God. Yeah. And then she wakes up in the hospital and is happier after.
She's fine now.
They're going to be together. Mm-hmm. Turns out what happened, instead of just making the body disappear, Edward ran into some problems in Atlanta.
In Atlantic City.
Did I say Atlanta City?
You did.
I meant Atlantic. Mm. Anyway, and so that way his body was found, which means she's now a widow.
Uh-huh. He wanted to make sure she was a widow. He buys her a house and she says, do you think it's big enough for you to join me and the dog? And he's like, yeah. And she goes, do you want to share it with us? And he's like, OMG, yes. So they're together forever now.
And then this was so funny because, but the strangest thing had happened. Shadwell had disappeared.
That's the super.
Never to be seen again. I'd asked Vasily if he knew anything about this. The man had said, alligator accident.
Alligator accident is so funny to me. Hilarious.
He's like, some?
Yeah.
That wasn't me?
Yeah. Okay. And now book two starts at their 4-year anniversary.
Wait, one last?
What? Tell me everything.
He said, he's like, I'm going to propose to you. And she's like, I'm not ready for that quite yet. And he's like, okay, then I'm going to propose to you once a week until you're ready. So he asks her the day before she walks across the stage for graduation. Mm-hmm. And she, when she's walking across the stage, right before she walks across the stage, she takes off something she had covering her cap, and it just says yes, yes, yes across the top of it, and that's how she accepts his proposal.
Oh my god.
God, this book was so dreamy. And it was wonderful. And then we get into book three.
Wow, the master was so good.
And unfortunately, patron, we're gonna have to get back with you for the player, because this took We just dragon called this puppy.
We did.
Or what was it?
Yeah, dragons captive. We dragons captive it.
We just dragons.
Listen, we loved it. Book. Yeah. I don't know what to tell everyone.
Yeah. Which, like, I was not expecting to love it as much as I did.
This was so good. And is the player better? Probably. I don't know.
Yes, it is. We've already told them our rankings.
I know.
This was delightful. I really loved reliving this, though, because, like, my God, I fucking loved the master.
Oh,
and, like,
God.
I didn't think anything could top it until I read the player.
And, like, the player blew my ever-loving mind. You Muppet messaged me about it. You Muppet voice
I
messaged
did. I couldn't
me
stop.
About it.
I try not to message you because I want it to be pot live.
I do the
pod.
Same thing.
But, like, sometimes you and I just break the rules, man.
We can't. We're
We
mavericks.
Break all the rules sometimes.
Rebels. Okay, bye.
Heaving Bosoms is produced by us, Melody Carlisle and Sabrina Bradley. Editing is done by Melody Carlisle.
Our theme music is by the incredible singer-songwriter Brittany Fonts, and our art is by ultra-talented author Kate Pryor. If you like our show, remember to follow us on your favorite podcast app, rate us 5 stars, leave a nice review, and of course, tell all your friends about us, even if they don't read romance.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at heavingbosomspodcast@gmail.com. If you want more of us, visit patreon.com/heavingbosomspodcast. You can also find us on Instagram @heavingbosoms, on TikTok @heaving_bosoms, and in our Facebook group, the Heaving Bosoms Geriatric Friendship Cult.
Head over to our website to sign up for our newsletter, get our Reading Embrace printable, and check out my audiobooks at heavingbosoms.com. All right, we'll be back next week with more Swoons and Snark. See you then.